straight out of the statute, and they're violating that, and we're going to sue the state if necessary to enforce the law.
New cruise ship wastewater treatment laws could be challenged in court. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story plus more coming up. An environmental group based in Haines is taking steps to bring the state's new cruise ship wastewater discharge rules to court. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation released the rule changes late last month, requiring cruise ships to meet different limits for specific types of wastewater treatment systems currently on board. Gershon Cohen is with the Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters. He says the changes violate a 2009 bill that gave cruise ships more time to comply with wastewater treatment regulations and required onboard installment of best available technology.
Unfortunately, DEC's permit that came out in draft form back in March that we commented on and now has come out in final form just a few weeks before the cruise ships started coming back in May, ignored half of the law. The permit gives them more time to meet the state water quality standards and point of discharge, but does nothing to require them to use the best technologies that are available. And that's just straight out of the statute, and they're violating that, and we're going to sue the state if necessary to enforce the law.
Cohen's group requested an administrative appeal of the new permit late last week. That move is the first step in a legal process that could challenge the permit in court. The department says the new permit soundly reflects the legislature's decision, as well as wide-ranging public comments from businesses, the cruise industry, and environmental organizations. Lynn Kent is the director of the department's water division.
I guess there was some concern that no matter what we did with the permit, it would be challenged. But we do believe that the final permit that we wrote accurately implements the new state law that the legislature passed last session during 2009, in that it requires use of advanced wastewater treatment systems that as a class represent the best available technology, which is what the law required. We also believe that the final permit that we issued is protective of water quality both while the ships are underway where there's tremendous dilution, and it also protects water quality while the ships are in port and stationary where even more stringent rules apply.
Alaska Cruise Association President John Binkley says the industry isn't reacting at this point. He says the trade was pleased with the new rules and appreciates the department considering concerns raised during the public comment period.
DEC has issued the permits, and so the ships have permits, and they're complying with those permits. And then, you know, from our perspective, that just everything stays the same unless DEC comes back and says we're going to change the permits. That would really be the only time we'd be affected.
The Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters says there are wastewater treatment systems already in sparse use that meet the terms in the permit's first draft. The group says that technology should be installed on other ships. But DEC's Kent says that technology needs more time to prove itself.
There are technologies available that can be implemented in a laboratory that will produce water quality that meets the water quality standards at the point of discharge. But what we don't have available yet is the ability to size and design and construct those on cruise vessels. So we feel pretty strongly that the advanced systems that they have on board the vessels right now do represent the best available technology, and the permit was designed for those systems that are currently on board.
Cohen says the permit change is the latest in a series of questionable moves by the state. He says it started with his own removal from a science panel to study wastewater technology after the tourism industry expressed concern about Cohen as a choice. He noted it continued with the passenger head tax reduction.
It is disconcerting, to say the least, that the Parnell administration has now, for the third time in almost as many months, taken a direction that seems to go directly contrary to the will of Alaskans.
The new permit took effect with the first cruise ship of this season and requires vessels to monitor their own discharge monthly through a third party. It relaxes discharge limits for ammonia, copper, nickel, and zinc compared to the earlier version, which ships had a difficult time meeting. Kent says the industry should be able to comply by 2015, though, with the assistance of the new science advisory panel.
The law that passed the legislature last year allowed this interim period for the department to issue permits that require something a little less stringent than the water quality standards at the point of discharge. And that provision goes away on December 31st, 2015. Now, if cruise ships are able to achieve the higher levels of discharge before then, then we'll revise the permit to require it before 2015.
The Environmental Conservation Commissioner's Office has issued a public notice that they received the campaign's call for a public hearing, and they'll next ask for public comments on the request by June 10th before deciding whether to grant the hearing. Two-thirds of Southeast's incumbent legislators face no election challengers so far. The filing deadline is about a week away, and at this point, only two of six lawmakers on the ballot have opposition. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Bill Thomas may not have to do much to get reelected this time around. The Haines Republican representative faces no opposition in his campaign for a fourth legislative term, but he still plans to hit the road.
I won't have to be as rushed, even if I don't have any primary, I can just spread the visits out. So I'll still go out and campaign and go to the communities.
Thomas holds the state House seat representing more than 25 villages and small cities from Metlakatla to Yakutat, plus Cordova in Prince William Sound. Juneau's three-member legislative delegation also faces no opposition so far, and if no one else files by June 1st, it would be one of Southeast's quietest election seasons in recent memory.
Well, there's probably a few different things at play. I mean, the first thing that comes to me is that there might be a little bit of election fatigue.
David Shurtleff is an Anchorage-based political strategist. He says the candidate shortage may be due to all the hard work that went into recent years' races.
One of the fallouts of having so many elections in a row is there might just not be as much money to go around. This could really be a big fundraising issue for many of these campaigns if a lot of their supporters are just kind of tapped out at the moment.
Shurtleff is a former journalist who works for the Alaska branch of the Pacific Northwest firm Strategies 360. He says the national political mood may also discourage filings.
Folks are a little bit fed up with their government right now, and one of the ways that plays out as well is that folks don't really want to go get involved in government. It might be a little difficult to recruit candidates this time of year.
So what you're saying there is you run for office, it might get nasty?
Yeah, I just think in general, there's probably a lot of prospective candidates that might just think, maybe this isn't something I want to go through or something I want to put my family and friends through.
Two Southeast incumbents do have races. Ketchikan Republican Representative Kyle Johansson faces Democrat Otter Mobley of Thorne Bay, and Wrangell Republican Representative Peggy Wilson has two challengers, Petersburg Steve Samuelson in the party primary and Sitka Democrat Reber Stein in the general election. But in Juneau, only incumbent Senator Dennis Egan and Representatives Kathy Munoz and Beth Kurtula have filed.
We're all three pretty well known because our community is, in Alaskan terms, an older one, and all of us have lived here and grew up here. Maybe that's why people haven't come out yet.
That's Kurtula, a Democrat seeking her seventh term representing downtown Juneau and Douglas Island in the state house. Republican Munoz is running for a second term representing the Mendenhall Valley and areas to the north in the house. And Democrat Egan is on the Senate ballot for the first time after being appointed to a vacant seat. The filing deadline is 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 1st. Kurtula says she'll wait before planning an opposition-free campaign.
It's just not a done deal. You know, this is one of those times when my mother would say, you need to wait until the filing date is completely over.
Southeast has two more incumbent senators, Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh and Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Neither are on this year's ballot. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A presentation this week shares personal stories from a Haines resident's archaeology work in Egypt.
It's about Abydos, which is the area where the very first pharaohs lived.
That's Jerry Clark. Before becoming the director of the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines, she began her first of four different seasons helping archaeologists in Egypt and Sudan.
And I've been working through Institute of Fine Arts, New York University, University of Pennsylvania, and Yale are sponsors of this excavation with the same director.
The slideshow and talk will describe her time helping on a 2007 excavation in a part of Sudan that was to be flooded by a new dam. It'll also cover her most recent trip to Egypt last winter.
what I do for the archaeologists is what I did for museums until I took the management job. I took care of artifacts, documented, helped preserve, made sure they were safe in storage and easily found by researchers.
Clark's free presentation to the public about her experiences with archaeologists in Africa is Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.